That is something I haven't done. The old convenience store sushi.
Oh,
Lindsay, have you ever gone down that road?
Absolutely not, but I do love convenience stores, especially when they're Quick Trip.
You know what I like?
What?
And I almost should save this for Read and React, but I'm going to give
it away.
It's
organic. Go for it.
I love those fruit pies. The Hostess fruit pies that they sell at convenience stores. And then at Quick Trip, they have like the Bavarian cream deep fried pies.
They have, I didn't realize you wanted to lead this hour off with a discussion about Little Debbie's. I was not prepared for this, but I always.
Yeah, these aren't Little Debbie brand.
Right.
I'm a big fan.
This is different.
Of the Nutty Buddy.
Ooh.
From Little Debbie. No, I'm talking the fruit pie, and then if they have the chocolate pie or the Bavarian cream that they have a Quick Trip, they're right by the checkout. They're just begging you to buy one.
Precisely placed. Precisely placed for your consumer convenience.
Exactly.
So you are a filling guy with pastries, I'm sensing.
Yeah, like a good Bavarian cream donut or that sort of thing. Yeah,
I'm not a filling donut person. But
yeah, some aren't.
Yeah, I love a good chocolate sprinkle. And I also really discovered recently that I'm a huge fan of glazed croissants. Did you know that glazed croissants exist?
Well, yes. And my daughter brought home a glazed croissant from a bakery in Minneapolis. It had like a swizzle of chocolate, but otherwise a glazed croissant. Fantastic.
Yeah, it makes sense. People say sometimes they get too worked up and they start seeing red. I eat a pastry and I just start seeing, I need more. I need two of these. I need three of these.
Yeah.
The limit does not exist, Katie Heron.
High quality baked goods, I'm all in on. Something I'm not all in on, and that is whatever the community, whether it's here in the cities, down the road in Chicago, and close ties between the Twin Cities and Chicago when it comes to pro sports. You know, you got Vikes, Bears, you got Twins, White Sox, you've got Wild, Blackhawks. Not so much Timberwolves, Bulls.
No, but if we move to the Eastern Conference, though, there might be. And then plus all of the old mafia bosses used to come up here and have their lake homes here. So there's a lot of
cross-pollination. Well, yeah, and hang out in St. Paul was kind of a safe spot for the mob bosses once upon a time. And then you got WNBA rivalry, et cetera. PWHL has not expanded to Chicago yet. But Chicago right now is going through stadium drama. Where will the Bears end up? Are they going to take the big public handout and go over the border to Hammond, Indiana, kind of an industrial suburb, well south? And if anybody's been to Chicago or driven around in Chicago, where Soldier Field is in the heart of the loop, near the park, it's walkable. You've got some of the museums there, Shedd Aquarium, Adler Planetarium. It's really a cool area. But Soldier Field by NFL standards, antiquated. I believe it's the smallest seating capacity in the NFL. I could be wrong, but it is among the smallest. Anyway, the Bears covet a new home. Now, they did buy land in Arlington Heights on the site of the old racetrack, Arlington Park. And the idea was they were going to build there. But the city itself, the county, the state of Illinois has been resistant to jump in, and we're going to pay for a lot of infrastructure, and we're going to give you big property tax breaks. The Bears say they'll fund the stadium themselves, but they still want public money in the stadium. You know how this goes. And what they're doing right now is playing Indiana against the city of Chicago and keeping the Bears on the lakefront in some way, shape, or form, even though the Bears say there isn't a suitable site. It doesn't work for us. What they really want to do is be on that land they bought in Arlington Heights in the old racetrack. That's what they want. and they're using Indiana, and maybe Indiana doesn't know this, but they will, that they're getting used to get to the 11th hour to get as favorable of a deal. And some would argue that that's okay. And I would argue it really isn't okay, because the NFL is the richest league in the history of North American sports by far. Billionaire owners, billionaire franchise valuations. I mean, the league has multi-billion dollar media deals. It is a license to print money. And the family that's owned the Bears, the McCaskey family, are billionaires. And this is what I argue with all of these team owners. They could fund their own stadium or their own arena or their own arena renovation. Pay for it 100% and still be billionaires. And that's the part I don't understand. When with a straight face, they make some sort of case that the public should in any way, shape, or form be involved in these projects. And right now, the Wild, owner Craig Leopold, wants, he's willing to put in money, but wants public money, whether it's the city or Ramsey County or the state of Minnesota, to put money into renovations of the River Center complex, including Grand Casino Arena. Well, we'll see about that, ultimately, and what that looks like. It'll be a long, arduous journey. We know what's coming with the Timberwolves. They want a new building. And what becomes frustrating about it is Craig Leopold is married to an heir to a fortune we can't fathom. They are billionaires. The owners of the Timberwolves, Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez, they got an unbelievable deal on the team from Glenn Taylor. Would they pay $1.5 billion? Well, they could turn around and sell the team for $3, $4, $5 billion. Easy. The Portland Trailblazers sold for billions. My point being is that even the Timberwolves, even if Mark Laurie doesn't have the kind of money that Craig Leopold and his wife has, or Alex Rodriguez, the valuation of the franchise would allow them to 100% fund their own arena. Now, if they want to get some sort of infrastructure help or a little bit of tax break help, but I think for these leagues and these owners to come to communities with all the needs, roads, schools, bridges, public transportation.
Just the American citizen and what they need.
Whatever.
Yep.
They're billionaires. And they could finance it and fund it and still be billionaires. How much do you need? The worst example of all, Lindsay, and I don't know if you followed this, and it's become kind of a hobby, or maybe it's just something I do to aggravate myself, the Hunt family that owns the Kansas City Chiefs. This family is worth at least $25 billion. They're one of the wealthiest families in the country. Not Sam Walton kin wealthy, but the Hunt family has a lot of money. And what did they do? They were pitting Missouri and Kansas against each other for who could pony up the most public money to help them build a stadium. A family worth $25 billion. They own the Kansas City Chiefs lock, stock, and barrel. What are they worth? $10 billion? My point being is, they can still fund it. They can still pay 100% of the bill and be billion. What are we doing here? That's
corporate welfare, Steve. That's what we're doing. Because those are the ones that are going to take care of us. We're still waiting for trickle-down economics to kick in. It's only been, what, 50 years since it was introduced into the lexicon? Because if we build for the billionaires, then they're going to put money back into the community. They're going to provide jobs. There's just like this exponential growth that's going to happen. All you have to do is say yes. And then we're going to put a data center about 20 yards. Oh, wait, that's a different thing entirely. Oh, okay.
Well,
same people.
But, and, I think that's all true. And I think we're hypercritical of people who maybe take advantage of food stamps programs. You know, are you really supposed to be able to buy a box of Fruit Loops on food stamps, or are you really should be able to on WIC buy premium ice cream? But on the flip side, we're generally willing. Now, I know California's pumped the brakes on it. I know there have been public votes around the country who just said, you know, we're not doing it. We're not putting public money into it. You want a new arena, you want a new stadium, pay for it. You know, and there are examples where privately financed projects they put shovels in the ground. The Clippers arena in Inglewood, where the Valkyries and the Warriors play in San Francisco, those were privately financed because California just flat out said, nope, we're not doing it. You want an arena, you want a stadium, you want a ballpark, you're going to pay for it. So I'm not in favor of fraud. Fraud should be prosecuted and punished. I'm not. But here we have Indiana. In the state of Indiana got involved, and Hammond and the county and all of this are willing to shovel public money toward the McCaskey family to get a team and build a stadium.
And
to me, it just...
You'll always find three states that will greenlight that versus the one that won't, too.
Well, and how would... And here's really a great example. How would a Minnesota sports team say, or fan feel if, like, well, you know, Wisconsin, Hudson, and I can't remember what county Hudson's in. I have to look it up. I don't think it's St. Croix County. Anyway, but if Hudson and the state of Wisconsin said, yep, we're going to build a new arena for the Timberwolves, and the Timberwolves are moving to Hudson. You know, they came up with hundreds of millions of dollars in public funding, or same deal for the Wild, or whatever. It just seems wrong, and it's frustrating to me.
And you'd think, Steve, like, given the accessibility that we have to sports product, as infuriating as it is, because they, just like your favorite shows that they'll put on Peacock once, and then 6 months later it'll be on Netflix, you have to have everything at all times, like... Arguably, it's never been more accessible to be a fan right now. And so in a lot of ways, you're asking people to make that choice of self-sacrifice or sacrifice of your well-being of yourself and your neighbor to be the cool kid, right? To have the team, to have the stadium, and all the little benefits that come with it. I know that there's a lot of restaurants. I know that there's big-time economic drive from these things. But that's the moral question that you're asking of these communities. And more we're seeing, like you said, they'll let them go. But then there's this huge blowback that comes against those people in those cities. Just look at what's happened to the city of Oakland, right? And,
yeah,
and,
for
and,
sure.
And what's happened to those that community, I should say.
Yeah, they've lost the Warriors, the A's, and the Raiders. And they don't have anything in Oakland because they wouldn't step up and play the game, and they lost their teams. It's really a shame. And I just think it gets back to the insane greed. You know, we're once again back to the McCaskies or the Hunts and the Bears and Chiefs situation. They are multi-billionaires. And it could fund 100% of this and say, we want to keep the Bears in Chicagoland, not move them to Indiana. I know Hammond's technically part of Chicagoland. But, you know, we're going to move to Arlington Heights. We're going to build this terrific stadium. We're going to pay 100% of it. Come and enjoy. And, oh, by the way, if you want good seats to the game, they're going to be $300 and the beers are $25. Fine.
That's the other thing. Good luck getting into the building, right?
It's, yeah, for sure.
Don't even talk about those ticket prices in New York. And I know not every city is New York City, and it's not the decades run that the Knicks are on right now. But there's really not that much public benefit for the sacrifice that you're asking.
No,
overall.
And once again, study after study after study is pouring big-time public money into these facilities doesn't generate the return that's promised. It doesn't. You know, okay, keep the team. you know, great. But I just wish at some point in time more and more communities would say, nope, we're not playing that game anymore. You know, the California model. You want to be here? Fund it yourself. 521, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Heather Rule's going to join us. PWHL expansion draft. Stanley Cup final tied at a game apiece. Vegas and Carolina, a couple of Sun Belt cities going at it to put their name on the cup. We'll sneak in some NBA finals talk as well. We have Read and React. We're going to move quick on that. Steve Carney is going to take us outdoors as well, all before 6 here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Lovely summer day. Twins fall, though, 3-2 today. They had a 2-1 lead going to the ninth. They give up two, and 3-2 the final. Same two teams tomorrow. Coverage begins at high noon with Inside Twins, and then the lineup card at 12:30, first pitch at 1:10. Connor Prelip on the mound for the home nine. Earlier today, noon game, Target Center, the Lynx route the Storm. 88-68, Lynx 9-2, no fee, doesn't matter. 9-2 out of the gate this year for the Minnesota Lynx. So it was Saturday noon. Busy downtown with the Lynx game at noon. Twins at 1:10 today. PWHL into the off-season. The champs are Montreal, and the league expanding again. And now it's time to worry about who the Frost are going to lose. Heather Rule joins us. Heather, good to visit with you. It's been a while. I was off for 2 weeks due to mid-afternoon Twins games. We missed you when you were headed for the Indy 500. There's kind of a lot of water under the bridge since we talked last time. Number one, how was Indy?
Indy was great. Steve, yeah, thanks for asking. Good to talk to you again. Indy was a lot of fun, kind of a trip that came together a little quickly once the hockey teams around here were abruptly out of the playoffs. Yeah. Because as I was following that, it was like, well, I don't know. Are we going to have overlap here again with hockey and the race? So I was able to go on a road trip with my mom, which was a lot of fun. And I had a couple of, you know, weather issues. You know, if they were doing anything other than oval racing, it wasn't even an issue, really. Just a few sprinkles, but fun race, fun to see the finish the closest finish in Indy history, which was awesome to see that. My dad was at the race in 92, a very cold Indy 500, I think still the coldest one on record, but that was the closest finish for more than 30 years until the end. We saw David Malukas get his heart broken and Felix Rosenquist make that pass there at the line, which it was so exciting to be in the grandstand. And we were in turn three, and they have different video boards up around so we could see them coming out of turn four. And I could see he was getting a run there, and I thought, okay, is he going to make this pass? And 20 years ago, actually, it was another close finish. Marco Andretti almost won it as a rookie, and the Andretti curse kept up as Sam Hornish Jr. got him at the line for that race. So, yeah, really a fun trip, and it's good to be back there as always.
Yeah, for sure, and a great show. Let's get into the PWHL before we run out of time, and let's talk about number one, who the Frost protect. No real surprise. I know Lindsay and I visited about this earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, in who you can protect, and the names certainly didn't surprise me. What about your thoughts, Heather?
Yeah, definitely not at all. The more I was looking at it, I mean, you can protect three players, and the decision was kind of obvious, right? I mean, you had Kelly Panik and Taylor Heisey, two of the top scorers in the league all season with just amazing years offensively. So, and, you know, they protected Heisey last year as well, first overall pick in the draft, the inaugural draft a couple years ago, and protecting a goaltender in Matty Rooney as well, I think. All seven of the eight teams protected a goalie. So with only three spots, I mean, those were almost kind of the obvious choices, right? It's unfortunate because they didn't get to protect a defender, and you have, you know, Kendall Cooper with a good rookie season. You have Lee Stecklein and Kendall Quinn Schofield they protected last year. And then you have you know, they have so much depth. You have Grace Zumwinkel, who they could have protected, or Britta Kreel-Salome, who was left unprotected as well. So, yeah, not much of a surprise. I mean, he kind of almost had to take those players, especially Panic and Heisey with their skills. And, yeah, it was pretty obvious that those were good choices to make.
I was really excited that Kelly Panic was protected. She's just such a good person and obviously coming off an amazing season. I think she's up for a bunch of awards still, and just happy we're going to see 12 out there. I was going to have to buy a different jersey. But we do have news for the Minnesota Frost roster, right, Heather? Like, that's how we look. We can't really make sense of the actual expansion process and how all this is happening, but we do know that there's already been a pretty seismic shift for this roster.
Yeah, it's a complicated process when there's you know, a whole, I think you say, like an Instagram carousel, and they're making animated videos the league is putting out to try and explain it's a 6-phase process for expansion. Yeah. A little different than last year when there's 4 new teams coming into the league. So far I think I have right now there's been 12 players that have been selected to San Jose, Hamilton, and Detroit so far. And for the Frost, Britta Kreel-Salome, who, like I said, was left unprotected, she was signed by Detroit in the expansion process. So she led the league in assists this year. She also is a bit of a controversial player for a lot of fans out there who don't like her style of play and don't like some of her views off the ice as a person. She has been suspended multiple times for high hits and is a penalized player as well, but at the same time has the skills and did lead the league in assists this year. So it's that is the first and only player so far that the Frost are losing in the expansion process.
Yeah, and it's funny you bring that up, because when I was at the site and you talked about the video, maybe it's a little too complicated if you need to do that. You know, it seems to me that
yes.
you would just have the first round, and then players or teams could pull back players. You know what I'm saying? Just make it a little bit more straightforward than, all right, we need videos and we need AI to jump in and help us understand this.
Yeah, I would agree. I was reading through it again today, trying to, you know, kind of make sense of it all with the different phases, because I think there's, you know, and they're in phase 2 right now. I think there's another phase where some more players could be protected.
Yeah.
I think they're looking in this phase, expansion teams could have up to 5 players on their rosters. And like I said, 3 of those teams have 4 players signed right now. And then I think it was phase 4 expansion teams can have up to 10 players on their roster. And then there's another phase where existing teams can negotiate and sign remaining players as well. I know the Frost going into it had 16 free agents, and similar numbers, I think, for some of the other existing teams as well. A lot of free agents out there. And with, again, expanding with 4 teams, you know, last year was 2 teams, so it was a little different process. It'll just be interesting to see kind of when the dust settles, where everyone lands, because it'll be a different look to the teams next year for sure. I think even more than this year. Last year, the Frost kind of survived, you know, getting a couple of their top defenders taken, and Sophie Jakes and Claire Thompson going to Vancouver. And, you know, Vancouver and Seattle, I thought, were going to be, you know, maybe stacked and have better years. And, you know, they both missed the playoffs. And there's, you know, there's some coaching changes as well with existing teams and the new expansion teams. So it's going to be a different look for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heather Rule joins us. Sorry to step on you, Steve. I just want to get one more question here about the PWHL. You can find all of her work at The Written Rule of Sports. It's on Substack. That's where you got to go to stay up to date. But this expansion is very rapid, and we know that this entire league is owned by one business, so you can kind of pick and choose your spots and when you get to do things, like canceling games at the last minute like they did with the Frost in Montreal before Game 5. But when you look at the talent and what's already being spread out, and you look at all these new bodies that are coming in, not just women that are graduating from college, but even people that have been playing for years that have gotten themselves back into shape, they see this opportunity. How do you see these next couple years going, especially with, I think it was last week, the PWHLPA released salaries for the first time. And so we're seeing how much these women are making, and that's going to change a whole lot over the next couple years with all these expansion teams. But how do you see this impacting the overall health and growth of the league? Is it too much too fast? Because some people are going to ask that question. I'm not, but where do you see it?
I have thought about that. I think ever since the league started, I've just been really kind of cautious because I've seen the other iterations of professional women's hockey kind of come up and stumble and, not be to this level of what this league has become. So I have worried about, expansion too quick, too soon, that kind of thing. I'm hoping after this season, maybe the next couple, I haven't heard beyond, what are they thinking as far as expanding even further beyond the 12 teams. I would like to see things settle down a little bit and just kind of have, you're expanding by four again. These are the 12. Kind of go with them. I know they've had a ton of these takeover tour games these first couple of years as well. And I know it's been kind of hot and cold with some of the fan reaction on that too, because there were a lot of these places where fans thought, okay, maybe we're going to get a team. And now, they're going to Vegas and San Jose and, a lot of, they're not going to Denver or Chicago or some of these other places, DC, where they've had takeover tour games. So I would like to see things maybe settle down a little bit. At the same time, I think what's interesting is, and I think Kendall Coyne Schofield talked about this, it's pro sports. Like, this is really a part of what it is. And it's, players are going to move around. You're going to have free agent signings. You're going to have, trades, things like that, that maybe, didn't happen in the other iterations of professional women's hockey before this. So I think that's ultimately a good thing. And I think the more talent that can come in, it'll be interesting to see how the draft goes too, with a lot of these college players coming in. And, I hope that the product will only continue to get better and improve. And I'd like to see just the fan bases really grow as well, just because ultimately I think that's what Melissa Caruso, the Frost GM, was saying the other day to the media, was ultimately it is about growing the game. They're aware that these decisions right now are difficult because, like she said, if we don't sign a player, they sign somewhere else that, they were with the Frost, it doesn't mean we don't want them here. It's just, this is the way the system is set up. And, with Britta Curl, it doesn't necessarily mean that they didn't want her here. Was you can only protect three players. And this is a situation, now she's going to get a chance to play on a brand new expansion team. So I'm hoping that it's only going to go onward and upward from here. And, I've heard a couple things that, that is what they're thinking. It's just, it's going to continue to improve and grow the game.
Yeah, and final thought on all of that, I think for the people that control the league and the family that controls the league, when are they willing to sell franchises and bring other people into the mix and make the decision-making process a little more complicated? That'll be a huge next step for this league when they're willing to sell individual franchises and give up total control.
Yeah, I think you're right, Steve. That's kind of maybe one of the next phases or next pieces this league, because that is what has been a little complicated, I think, sometimes, is the league owns all the teams. It's the league in charge of everyone. So I think you're right. That'll be a next step in this process, as things hopefully, like I said, maybe settle. That's what I would like to see, and just kind of settle down and continue to grow, but also just grow these fan bases and grow these new fan bases and these new locations that you have. And I haven't heard too if now, with 12 teams, are they going to have divisions or conferences, or kind of split things up that way? Or are they looking at maybe expanding, games per season too? Haven't really heard much on that as far as for next year, but I think that's something I would look forward to as well. Maybe just kind of expanding the season a little bit. And I'll be interested to see too if the playoff format expands at all, or if they end up going to 7-game series at some point rather than the 5-game series.
Heather, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much for the time. Dylan Larkin wants out of Detroit. Could he end up with the Wild? We'll have to maybe get into that next week. And when the dust settles in this PWHL expansion draft, we'll visit about that. Let's do it again next week.
All right. Sounds good, Steve. Always good to talk to you guys. Thanks so much.
There she is, Heather Ruhl, joining us. And quick break, we'll come back. Lightning round, read and react. We're going to go quick. Steve Kearney will take us outdoors here on News Talk, 830 WCCO. NBA Finals resume Monday in New York. Don't even bother trying to get a ticket. Thousands of dollars. Knicks up 2-0 over the Spurs there. Stanley Cup Final in Vegas. It'll be insane. Carolina and Vegas tied at 1-1 Stanley Cup Final tonight. Twins wrap up the series with the Royals tomorrow. Our coverage begins at high noon following Corso. Corso on a Sunday between 10 and noon. All right, it's time for Read and React. We're going to go quick. And then Steve Carney will join us. Lindsay, get us started.
All right, what is something that took you a long time to grow out of, Steve?
Oh, boy, you ask really good ones. Wanting to eat fast food morning, noon, and night.
Ooh, okay.
Number one to you. Do you always fill your car up with gas, or are you one of those where it's just like, I'm in a hurry, I'm going to put in $10?
Well, a lot of times these days, I'm going to the pump with that fake money card, and so I fill it right up. I fill it right up, and I ask questions later. But when I first started driving, and it was like 2008, we were going like the quarter tank fill up. So
yeah, it was just bare minimum.
We've grown. Steve, where and what facilitates your perfect nap?
Boy, I don't get many of those. When I worked morning radio a long, long time ago in South Dakota, the perfect nap was work morning radio, do the production, do all the work I needed to do, pick up my firstborn at daycare, and then I would put her down for a nap.
Oh, yeah.
And then Dad would get the nap.
Sleep with and the then, baby sleeps, baby. Let's go.
And then Mom would take over, and I'd go do a ball game somewhere that night.
God, so, you were hustling.
That was perfect. All right. What's your favorite flower?
Right now, they're the zinnias that are growing in my front doorway that have welcomed a colony of mushrooms. I don't know what the zinnias actually look like. I'm just seeing their little pods go, so they're just my favorites right now.
Yeah, cool. All right, number three to you.
Fingers crossed they make it, but name an athlete that has made you feel or believe in something good.
Oof.
Hopeful.
Wow. That's one, unfortunately, I need to think about for a while.
That's
and
all right.
I know we don't have a while.
Maybe we bring it next week. And that sometimes yeah, there's that, one that needs some chewing.
That is really outstanding because there are a lot of inspirational stories in sport. I want to take a pass and deliver on that next week.
Love it.
All right. Final one to you. Would you ever consider running for office, school board, mayor, legislature, would you ever get involved in politics?
I feel like I'm not the person to do it, or I don't really want that much responsibility, but I'm told people that don't want the responsibility are sometimes the best suited. But I got a lot of learning and a lot of listening to do before I think I'm a good candidate. But that's a future Lindsay problem. We're figuring out ourselves right now.
That is Read and React. I have the first ever pass. That excellent. Excellent question.
Thank you.
Wow. I'm distracted.
That's
thinking
okay.
About that.
Let's go to break because Steve's already ready to go. He's been listening this whole time. He better be inspired as well.
All right. Steve Carney outdoors in a moment here on CCO. Time to go outdoors. Steve Carney joins us. SteveCarneyOutdoors.com. Here we are. Prime time. Steve, they're biting, right?
You know, it's really weird. And by the way, Lindsay is on fire. I got to tell you, she's feisty. She really is. But
oh, for sure.
Yeah, it's been on and off. You know, I think this heat has been really a tough thing. The fish have been moving a lot. You know, you can catch them one day and they're gone the next day. I think this heat, you know, this early heat has really been tough. Especially late in May, you know, we hit the 90s and it's really kind of screw things up, pardon my French, but yeah, it's been very inconsistent. That's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, and you know, Steve, every year is different, every season is different. I know we're still in the mode where we pretty much need rain in a lot of spots, and that's for sure. And it looks like this week could be a bit stormy, particularly here Sunday night. We could see storms again midweek.
Well, we need the rain. I mean, there's no doubt.
Sure.
You know, everything is so low. The lakes are just as low as I've ever seen. But, you know, this heat that came in just, I don't know, it just kind of changed everything. The weed growth has accelerated. It just changed things drastically fast. And you really don't want to see anything happening super fast. You want a gradual warm-up and consistency, but we just haven't had that. It just kind of hit us, and, you know, 6, 7 days and 90s, and it really kind of messed up things. So fishing has been on and off is probably the best way to describe it. And June is usually really good, very consistent, but those 90s really, you know, kind of threw a wrench into things. So, you know, one day they're there, the next day they're gone. And it's just this weird weather. So the weed growth is, you know, getting kind of crazy, and water temperatures are 75, 74. You really don't want them to get, you know, any warmer than that. But I see a cool down next week, which is good. You know, that's all we need. You know, just kind of take a break, settle back, get in the 70s, and that should help things. So it's looking good. It's June, you know, the best month of the year for fishing, really.
Yeah, and Steve, I know you have a lot of groups, and I know you wanted to talk about a group you had in the boat recently.
Yeah, I had a veteran from the Iraq War that was a combat veteran who was wounded, and I had him and his son. We had a great time 3-4 days ago. He had just a wonderful son, 11-year-old rider, and just a good stick. And I could tell he fished off docks a lot and fished off shorelines, and you know, he was really intense and very focused, and we had a great time. So it was my pleasure to take those guys out. It was just a wonderful morning, beautiful, calm, sunny. It was just a beautiful day. So I was very gratified to take them out.
Yeah, and that is always good stuff. You get a lot of groups, but I know getting the vets out and their families is a big part of what you do. Hey, Steve, have a good evening. Once again, it could be a little bumpy this week, unsettled, but as you pointed out, cool down later in the week, highs in the 70s by this time next week. I don't feel pretty good.
Yep, looking forward to it. We're going to definitely have to pack rain gear, so that's okay. I'm glad to see it. I'm tired of the 90s, Steve.
Yeah, it was hot. You know, getting some yard work done, it's like, woo. I needed to take a break here and there in the shade. All right, Steve, have a good one. Good to viz with you.
All right, take care, Steve.
Steve Kearney is Steve Kearney Outdoors and has been joining us on the weekends for years. By the way, our outdoors coverage continues on Sunday between 5 and 6. Rob Driesline from the Outdoor News has a great show. A lot of guests, a lot of great info. That is Sunday, sports schedules permitting, twin schedules permitting. And it should work out tomorrow. Twins and Royals get started at 1:10. Rob in the Outdoor News tomorrow between 5 and 6. And speaking of that, here is the lay of the land for tomorrow. We have Corazon a Sunday between 10 and noon. At noon inside Twins, lineup card at 12:30. First pitch at 1:10. Connor Prelip, the scheduled starter. Twins drop a heartbreaker today. They had a 2-1 lead going to the ninth. They get beat 3-2 by the Royals. Same two teams on Sunday. Quick update on that weather one more time. Tonight should be lovely. Clear, low near 66. Tomorrow a sunny start. Chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon and a high near 88. Should be able to get the ball game in. And then showers and thunderstorms likely Sunday night. Showers Monday in 83. Sunny and hot Tuesday and 90, 93 on Wednesday with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Big thanks to Lindsey Brown. Big thanks to you for tuning in. I am Steve Thompson. Have a great Saturday night here at News Talk 830 WCCO.